Welcome to the 7 o'clock hour here on Fesco and Dusty. Dusty Leggins by Fesco McMorrie with you on a Monday after a Chiefs win, 22-17 versus the Falconians. Patrick Mahomes, 26 of 39 for 217.
Ish. Here's a nice little stat about Mahomes that'll get you excited, though.
Okay? Well, he's the best quarterback in football.
Well, yeah, he is. I mean, and clearly is. But here's the stat that I thought, like, wow, jumped off the page. Patrick Mahomes now has the most wins through his first 100 games in the NFL of any quarterback of all time. Okay? 77 wins in his first 100 starts sets the record for the most all time.
Pretty good.
I'll take it one step further. He's only played 99 games. He hasn't even played 100 games yet and has more wins through his first 100 games than any other quarterback, passing the legendary Tom Brady of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Roger Staubach of Dallas. They each had 76 through 100. Patrick Mahomes has 77 through 99, 78 hopefully through 100, and then he blows that out of the water and beats them by 2 games, and that's a big time victory when you can lead by 2 games. So congratulations, Patrick Mahomes. You're pretty good.
We'll have DJ. Dana Hughes will be tomorrow. DJ will be here on the show in about 20 minutes or so, and if you missed our Royals coverage, we'll have Vern on later. And baseball coverage on 96.5 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. It is Monday, which means we can get a little bit of an overreaction Monday. I don't know who put this as the second one on here.
That's Mac.
Okay.
Wait, which one? Let me see.
That says overreaction.
Oh, yeah, I knew that one would get you guys going. Come on.
Oh, come on. I mean, that is ridiculous.
All right, mate. All right, Mac, really is. You'll get to that, but start off with the list where you've got it started off.
The Browns should trade Myles Garrett.
I don't disagree with that. That franchise sucks.
This team's done.
Yeah, they're cooked. I mean, you got beat by the Giants yesterday, like, and Daniel Jones, right?
Yeah. I tried to speak it into existence yesterday multiple times. Put Jameis Winston in.
Just stick him in.
And clearly, I feel
Deshaun
like
sucks.
He's terrible. Awful, right?
He can't see defensive pass rush. He can't read a zone defense.
Can't run anymore.
Now, he did hook up my boy Amari.
He's a scumbag.
He did hook up Amari Cooper yesterday, which I've been waiting to see that happen.
Right. Fantasy Football Sundays, 9
Correct.
To 10.
Yep. There you go. 9 a.m. on 96.5 The Fan with Mac.
Yeah, you're home for Kansas City sports.
If I was Myles Garrett, I would just be like, get me out of Cleveland.
Oh, God, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I would just be like, I'm not playing anymore.
I mean, he's at least a first-round pick. At least one.
Oh, yeah. Oh God, yeah. Absolutely. I tweeted yesterday, are the Raiders still going to give Stefanski coach of the year?
No.
You know, based on that. Yeah. I mean, you lost to Daniel Jones. You made Daniel Jones and Malik Nabers look like the best combination in the NFL,
Malik
right?
Nabers might be him.
And,
though, man.
Oh, my God. Like, my dad all day yesterday just keeps texting me, leak.
That's
like,
gotta
he's 75, and I'm getting these leak texts from him.
I would like to know by the end of this week what his jersey sales are in New York.
Oh, God.
Seriously. I mean, they're going to go, man.
Jeez, was he good yesterday. And Daniel Jones was good. Give him credit, man. Give him credit.
That's two, like, decent games in a row for Daniel Jones.
Danny Dimes. Yeah. All I had to do was come out and have Kay Adams say that they were not dating, and all of a sudden the pressure was off, and he looked like he played
and now
well.
Kay Adams may want to date him. Did you see the way he played yesterday, Kay? Getting that ball to leak all day yesterday, but man, the story there is Cleveland, and every year I'm sure there's meltdown centrals going on. Follow Twitter today to see if anybody in Cleveland's losing their mind. They should be. They're one of the 5 worst teams in the NFL.
Dr. Mackenstein, go ahead with that second one.
The Texans are not our biggest threat in the AFC .. The New York Jets are.
I don't think so. I think if you're looking at the biggest threat in the AFC right now, as of right now at 7:07 in the morning, it's Buffalo. Now, if Buffalo loses tonight, then it's not Buffalo anymore. Then it's just nobody.
It's
nobody.
Jets.
The Jets, come on now. They beat the Patriots.
I get it.
And their defense still isn't that good. And they beat the Patriots. And the Patriots may not win another game this season.
No. Patriots aren't that bad.
Well, they may beat the Dolphins.
Dolphins, I mean, they got to have somebody that plays quarterback because nobody's protected. I mean, I can't believe that they put Drake May in that game last week against the Jets on Thursday night. They're like, just go get beat up.
See what happens. Like, best of luck to you, sir.
Overreaction Monday. The Browns should trade Myles Garrett, and the Texans are not the biggest threat in the AFC. The Jets are your biggest
threat. The Texans fell on their face yesterday.
You're going to find out who the biggest threat in the AFC of the Chiefs is tonight.
Tonight, I think. I think tonight's big. I think Buffalo wins this game. They're probably going to be looked at as the biggest
home
threat.
against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And you can eliminate Jacksonville, too, from the picture if they lose tonight.
Both speaking about Buffalo tonight. Yeah. Just making sure. Cincinnati plays tonight as well.
Yeah, they play the Commodes. You beat the Commodes. You don't. I mean,
it's the same as Jacksonville, but I mean, it's not if you beat them, it's how you beat them.
Yeah,
if Buffalo goes out there and wins 38-14. Hello.
Yeah.
And if Cincinnati goes out there and finally has their team all back together and they win, then it's like, okay, they had a couple big hiccups in their first two games. They lose to the Patriots and they lose to the Chiefs in dramatic fashion. But if they go out there tonight and play against Washington and have a, you know, good job. Now, if they go struggle against Washington,
they win like 22-21 or something then, against then the Commodes.
Then there's a conversation to be had about what's going on in Cincinnati.
Yeah. The next one there.
Peter LaFleur's brother is legit.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur, top five coach in the league. Two wins in a row with Malik Willis.
Which, I mean, Malik Willis looked good yesterday, right? Like, better than Peter Tom. He looked really good yesterday.
Who was saying 2 weeks ago that Malik Willis may not be done? Who was that?
I said that,
it was you, Bob. Yep, I forgot.
He may be. Right now, if you're the Green Bay Packers, both Jordan Love and Malik Willis are available in trades. You explore offers. 100%,
yes.
And if you're Miami, you're calling on both of those guys. If you need a quarterback right now, which the majority of teams do, I'm calling Green Bay on both Love and Malik Willis right now. And whatever the best offer is, if I'm Green Bay, make that trade.
Would you take Matt LaFleur or Sean McVay?
Sean McVay. Okay. Yeah, still
but
Sean McVay.
But that door is starting to creak open a little bit.
Sean McVay with a big win yesterday, man.
Huge.
I mean, you had two of your best players, if not your two best weapons, down, and you find a way to beat San Francisco. Now, San Francisco was a mash unit yesterday, but
I think the Chiefs should go and see if San Francisco is willing to give us Juwan Jennings.
Yeah.
Gosh, he's good.
Go out and trade for Christian McCaffrey. Just get him back for the playoffs, see what happens, right? My overreactions, Dallas should fire Mike McCarthy and hire Bill Belichick right now. I was down at Baker yesterday or on Saturday for their game. They were up 56-0 in like the first quarter. Congratulations to the Wildcats. Big picture of Mike McCarthy on the stadium. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there you go. That's Baker's guy. Let's go. Oh, Mike McCarthy, you need to go, my man. Like that performance yesterday, I know they fought at the end, but from what we do for a living, firing Mike McCarthy and hiring Bill Belichick today would be a great gift. I would take that in a heartbeat. I would absolutely take that in a heartbeat. Another overreaction, Cleveland is the worst team in the NFL that played on Sunday, followed by the Oakland Raiders. I mean, the way that the Raiders lost that thing yesterday and fell on their face had Antonio Pierce saying this.
He just didn't seem to show up tonight.
No, they didn't. I think as the game went on, I don't think it was a team. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions.
Ugh.
And we'll make business decisions going forward as well.
So who are those players that made business decisions? Who's getting cut today in Las Vegas?
No, I don't know. I'm interested. It sounds like it might be on the defensive side.
I don't know, man. Like they're making business decisions and we're going to make business decisions too. Let's go.
Please tell me he's talking about Max Crosby, which I don't think he is. I think
Max played hurt yesterday too.
Yeah. My overreaction is one that, Bob, you're going to hate, but the Rookie of the Year campaign officially started for Caleb Williams yesterday. I know he had two interceptions and he got a strip sack fumble. That's not his fault. That's not his fault. That's his offensive line. But he had 363 yards passing, led the league in passing yesterday. Also, he finally found out who Romeo Odunze is.
Yeah.
They both looked like they were the package deal that they could be in Chicago. He's still without Keenan Allen, who's hurt. Look, I think Caleb Williams is starting to figure out. He had a couple of plays where I sat on the chair and I looked at it. I was like, that's what we need to see more of. He had a play where he had avoided a sack, went forward, guy missed, did a little ookie juke, and then threw a 15-yard strike. He's starting to get more comfortable. I know the Bears aren't what people expect them to be so far, but you're starting to see that. And then my other overreaction is that Sam Darnold's the MVP of the league.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah, Sam Darnold, your MVP after 3 weeks. Yeah. And that's hard to argue right
now.
They're
3-0.
They're 3-0, and they played great yesterday.
They blew them out.
Yeah, they played great yesterday.
They beat the Niners and the Texans in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah. Blew out the Texans.
And we'll see as the season goes along how big those wins end up being. But still, you're 3-0 in this league right now. If you're 3-0, you're not apologizing. And you housed the Texans yesterday. And you housed the 49ers. And so, look, I give Sam Darnold all the credit in the world. He's the best USC quarterback in the NFL, and it's not even close.
That is our Overreaction Monday here on Fesco and Dusty, which is here for you Monday through Friday. Coming up, we get to dive into what is, well, a perfect way to go 4-0 for the Kansas City Chiefs, plus Derek Johnson as well. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports. I saw our video on Friday night at the Royals game.
Oh, did you see? I haven't gotten there early enough to see it. I missed it the other night.
We were out in the parking lot having a few sodas before the game. I looked over and I said, watch this. And she looked up at the big screen and there was my face. And then there was your face. And then there was, it was me. And then it was Carrington. And then it was you. And I was like, man, where's Cody and Gold? And then I saw at the end of the night, they get the end of the game.
Okay, cool.
It's pretty fun how that all came to fruition.
I guess I just miss all that, like not paying attention or whatever. But I did see Cody try to run in the hot dog race on Saturday.
Dude, Beasler smoked those people.
Beasler should not have been in that thing. What are we doing here? Like, you're trying to crown a hot dog champion and you put Beasler out there?
What are we doing here? Like, this is just an absolute brutal.
Yeah, Cody, I guess, was claiming to some folks on Saturday that, you know, he didn't win because he didn't have his glasses or something like that. I'm like, no, that's not the case at all. Cody didn't stand a chance whether he had glasses on or not. He got absolutely housed in that hot dog racing and making Beasler the grand champion. Look, he won it, but he beat Cody.
Okay. I will say this to Cody, and I love Cody Tapp. Good friend. Cody, it's time to hang it up.
Yeah, really, you need to retire.
Stop ruining other people's
chances.
Who's
more washed, Kelsey or Cody?
Well, you can't really be washed if you never had your prime, you know? So 0-4.
It's over. It is what it is, man. You got to put the hot dog costume up. I'm sorry you never got a win. A lot of people don't.
I didn't get a win, and I don't really care. But Cody, like, he's going to continue to do this until he finds a way to win.
It's over.
Yeah, it's got to be done, man. You got to hang up your hot dog suit.
For the first time, I got to watch somebody try to beat Bobby in that race. There's no chance.
Oh, God, isn't that the best thing ever? Yeah, I love those.
There's no chance. Like, the guy was doing all right to start, and then it goes away because the center field wall's there. And then you got halfway through the center field wall, and you're just like, dude, you're gassed. And then you just see that little cartoon character go all the way over, and you're like, no one is beating that. No.
See, you said Beasler run against that, right? Yeah. Let's do something like that. But I'm like, come on, Matt. Like, you're out there, like, claiming awards and belts and all that kind of stuff. Like, I love you, my man, but for the Royals to put him in that hot dog race against, like, random fans, like, who did you think was going to win this thing?
It's like they owed him a favor.
Yeah.
Swivel lawn chair, 49 South at Belton. Ooh. If you're looking for a chair.
A swivel, is it wrought iron?
I don't know. I like those ones that rock.
That's what I'm saying. If it's wrought iron, like if it's whatever color it is, I can paint it because I got two of those recliners out there. But if I could get a swivel chair, I'm listening.
Use one of those on a Tuesday.
Oh, I tell you what. Ooh, babe. Oh, I'm going to tell you something yesterday, boy. Not good.
What, the Chargers?
You could call it that.
Yeah, the Chargers.
Got caught yesterday. By the kids?
Yeah. That's the worst.
Oh, what was your excuse?
We love each other. What do you care? You're lucky.
Was it like getting loud?
No.
Oh.
No.
They like literally walked in on it.
We were down in the basement watching the games. And
side spoon?
There's a bed on the side over there. Yeah, like.
Did she throw the challenge flag?
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Like,
the first time you've ever been caught?
Probably not.
Okay.
No.
Oldest? Youngest?
Oldest, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. So, you know.
Oh, that, like, poor girl.
But we just say, look, your parents love each other. You know, it's like, and like each other. How many marriages?
Love each other a lot.
Yeah, love each other a lot. You should be happy. What do you care?
I figured you'd be like, your mom's about to run a marathon. I got to keep her up.
I think she's more interested in getting an invite to your house than she is running the Chicago Marathon in a couple weeks.
Bless her heart.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
tough.
Good morning, Jen. Oh, 913-586-7965. Have you been caught?
Yeah.
I've been caught by the parents, but that was like in high school.
I'm not doing that again.
Really?
No.
Jerry Jones is talking, by the way.
Oh, already?
Yeah. Jerry Jones told reporters after Sunday's loss to Baltimore that his team didn't sign running back Derrick Henry last offseason because we couldn't afford him.
Okay. Thanks, Jerry.
Well,
you can afford whoever
you
want.
Who's having sex with Jerry Jones? Apparently somebody.
Did you see Jerry Jones' video over the weekend, too?
Talk about Deuce Vaughn.
Whew. He's
got an 8.5-inch blank.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about
and
that.
And then, like, Jamie Foxx turned the thing off.
Immediately into the stream. When somebody had asked, like, they're like, is that AI, you think? I'm like, I don't know, because you'd think if Jamie Foxx was really getting into it, he'd have kept going. But he was like, this even shocks me.
Yeah, I'm out, man. I'm not doing this thing. The hell is this old man talking about?
Somebody on the 816. That has to be Cody's last time, too. Let's let regular fans get a chance. I know it's fun and everything, but come on. Hey, kids, your mom wanted to see the hot dog race.
That's right.
Somebody says, yep, been caught by the Overland Park Police Department. Oh.
Ooh. Where?
Oh, man.
I need more on that, too.
You I would assume Overland Park.
I know, but like in a car?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm sorry that happened. That's awkward.
Nah.
Were you able to finish? He just turned his head. All right, let's get to our guy, Derek Johnson, Mac.
He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Derek Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, oh, man, we gotta figure this out.
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. You hear his song. You hear his intro. It's Derek Johnson presented by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member owner, open to all, invest in you, and also sheet metal workers, local number two. DJ, I'm so happy that you're on this show today because, my guy, how great of a game was that from our boy Nick Bolton last night?
Oh man.
I know you're ready to go.
Absolutely. I was smiling from ear to ear, man. Nick does, though. This is not a different type of atmosphere or characteristic of Nick. Nick is a playmaker. He's a tackling machine. He's just a smart young player. Sometimes we forget how young Nick is. Like, Nick is a young player that's making a bunch of tackles, and that just confirms it at the end of the game. Play well all the way through, and at the end of the game, being able to take down one of the young superstars of athletes in the NFL with Bijan, and just coming inside out and knowing the situation, knowing that, hey, I'm going to shoot my shot in man, that reminded me of, it gave me a flashback. I've done that before, run inside out and come through the line and get a tackle for a loss to seal the game.
Yeah, that's got to be an exhilarating experience. But I want to know from your perspective, for the first 2 weeks, people were critical of Nick, right? Like, oh my God, he's not playing like he needs to. And then he comes out and has that game like he did yesterday. From an athlete's perspective, do you guys hear that narrative and does that motivate you? Like, kind of go through that situation about, you know, hearing a narrative that you're not good for 2 weeks and then coming out and having a game like that.
Yeah, I've been through that, believe it or not, and it's one of those things where you just have to, I guess, block out the noise, and of course you don't read it, you don't go search it up, you know it probably floats around a little bit, especially, even as fans thinking about a player that maybe hadn't been playing his best or whatnot, mostly probably in a passing game, but we hear it, but we're the first people, the players are actually the first people to notice, all right, we're not up to standard, like, what's going on, so we're not oblivious to us not playing to our standard and our expectation, mm-hmm. but he worked hard to make sure he came out and had a really, really good game, and we need him. We need him. We're 3-0 now, and we didn't even have our best game. Defense played really well other than that first drive, but defense played really well.
The difference, though, DJ, is the noise that you were getting was coming from Haley. It wasn't coming from the fans.
That's some truth to that, for sure.
I like how you described it, 3-0, because, like us, I'm sure you watched the NFL all day yesterday where you're seeing scores. You're like, wow, Houston's getting beat this bad by Minnesota. And then you see, you know, the Chargers kind of have some injuries. But there's nothing really you can do except play the game that you can control, which was last night against Atlanta. And I thought the young kid out of K-State, Felix Nduke Uzama, I thought he looked pretty well last night, DJ.
He did. He did. Being able to affect the quarterback is – we got to put more value on that. And Cousins was affected and made some throws and some overthrows and interception one time that really helped our defense and helped us, you know, get our offense back the ball, which we needed more possessions. Offensively, we didn't play as well. We still, you know, played better than their offense, right?
That's right.
We ran the ball well on offense and whatnot. But again, going back to the defense, being able to affect the quarterback. You're talking about a high money guy, a high operating veteran quarterback like Cousins. And there's certain times I'm like, man, he's a sitting duck back there because he can't run like Mahomes. And when we got him bottled up, he made some mistakes that really helped us out. Now, our secondary, goodness gracious, man, from just the rushing to the linebackers to the secondary, I mean, they were all active. When you talk about Connor, Reed, McDuffie, just Watson, just everybody, man, it was a great sight to see from a defense standpoint.
Yeah, it really was. And Shamari Connor, too, obviously the big interception, but he ended up with 10 tackles, two passes defended. Like, was that kind of like his kind of coming out party to show everybody, like, hey, here I am, man?
It was. It was. And somehow this Chiefs team, Spags, always finds a couple of DBs where you say, hey, you may not think this guy is. It's big time, and then he goes out there in Spags defense and says, oh, he's somebody to be reckoned with. So, again, man, they are so active, and Spags love the play calling, just stopping the run. I mean, they're on paper, their running back is probably better than our running back, right? We can all say that. Mm-hmm. but not yesterday. So that tells you what Reed and this football team is doing and just the game plan we have. We're a pretty good football team even on a day that's you say, hey, that was not that impressive offensively.
Shutting down Bijan kind of reminded me a little bit too of the way they shut down Derrick Henry in the championship game a few years ago, right? Like, everybody talked about this guy's going to run all over them, he's going to be this beast, and they held Derrick Henry to 69 yards, they held Bijan Robinson to whatever 31 yards or whatever it was yesterday. Like, it seems like when the Chiefs defense gets challenged, especially in that run game, they step up, man. What is it about that?
Well, I think it's the mentality. It's the mentality from the defensive line. It starts from the defensive line. It always starts up front. And with those big guys, 98, 97, 95, 56, you just call them out, 69.
Yeah.
All those guys are 91. They just do their job really, really well at a high level. When you do that, when you do your job so well, you help out your teammates to do their job better. So that's when you know you're doing a great job, and it starts in defensive line. And obviously, the linebacker was very active, and our DBs are running, flying around, making plays. Man, our defense is continuing to show us that you can hang your hat on us, even when our superstar Patrick Mahomes is. There was a couple opportunities that I'm sure he wants back, but we are very blessed with the talent that we have and just the mindset we have with under Andy Reid right now.
Yeah, just giving up a little bit of 20 points per game so far in their first three games of the season. I do want to ask you from a linebacker's perspective, because I thought the young rookie was great last night in the role that he was just kind of presented in with the Isaiah Pacheco injury. How do you go as to trying to stop somebody like Carson Steele, who just looks like he runs like through a brick wall every time he gets the ball as well?
Oh, man. I tell you what, our offensive line is doing a great job of putting a hat on a hat. And if you're gonna slow down Steele, you're gonna have to slow him down early, because if you don't stop him from getting 2 or 3 yards, he's gonna run through the next 3 or 4 yards. That's just how he is. He puts his head down and goes, and he's got good vision. He's not doing too much. Sometimes running backs can do too much. You got to be Bijan at times where you say, man, he's jumping cut. He's trying to get outside. It's like, nope, it's not gonna work. You know, can you get down? Can you go slow to fast through as a running back? And that's what Carson Steele is doing right now, and that's heck of a debut for our rookie free agent.
No doubt, man. He was really good, but Rashee Rice is emerging as the best wide receiver obviously we've had since Tyreek Hill in this offense right now. What do you like about this kid?
Oh, man, he catches the ball on the run. They have plans for Rice. Like, Rice is our number one guy, obviously, right now. And I say right now just because we're doubling and doing – people are doubling and doing a bunch of stuff with Kelce, which is fine. Kelce's playing his role right now. But Rice, every time he catches the ball, he is on the move, and he's a fast guy. So you never want him to be in a position where he's more of a possession guy, a 50-50 ball type of guy. No, he's a guy that underneath routes, he's catching and running. He's doing drag routes, whip routes. Man, he's option routing it. Every time Mahomes steps back, he's looking for Rice, and Rice is killing it right now. So the league better take notice. Hopefully they don't. Hopefully they get to him before he gets 1,000 yards, because he's on his way really, really soon.
All right, so let's have that conversation about Travis Kelce that, like, nobody wants to have. Are they taking him out of the game? Has he gotten too old? Is he not part of the game plan? Is Rice the feature? Like, where do you view the Travis Kelce situation right now?
I don't think it's a really situation. He is older. That's the reality of it. Is he going downhill? No, of course not. If you want to play a defense just like you play other offenses, where you go one on one or not really put a lot of attention on the tight end, Travis Kelce is going to kill you. He'll have 10 catches. He can do that. He still is a guy. You know, I've watched him for a long time, and he's so crafty, still doing his thing. And there are times where they are triangling and making sure they bump him off the line or making sure that he doesn't get the ball. But again, other people are open, which helps out the whole defense. Helps out the whole offense. I'm not worried at all about Travis Kelce. We're winning. We're 3-0. So regardless of him, all receivers or tight end passing receivers, they want the ball. Trust me, I was around Tony Gonzalez forever, and he thought he was open every single play. He's like, give me the ball. But that's probably because he wasn't winning as much. But Kelce, I'm sure he's mature about it. He knows that he has a place on this offense and has a plan for him. So when his time comes, it'll come. But he just doesn't have those catches like he's had in the past.
One thing I want to bring up, which I thought was interesting last night, was the evolution that we're starting to see in one Leo Chenal. The guy looks like an absolute animal on the outside. I know they use him in like the jumbo package around the goal line whenever they're trying to punch the ball in, but you really like seeing guys like Drew Tranquil come out of their shell last night along with Nick Bolton. I thought the linebacking core last night was absolutely great.
Yep. They are. They're very smart guys. You talk about Tranquil, you talk about Bolton, obviously, and then you add Leo Chenal. Leo Chenal is kind of that guy where, he's not quite on the scouting report in a way where they're talking about him like Tranquil and Bolton. But then you get in the game like, oh, he's pretty good too. Like, he's running through people, or he's making hard tackles. Smart guy, smart players. You know, when you have a really good defense like we do, you got to have linebackers that are athletic and smart. And that's what we have with the Chiefs.
Talk with Derek Johnson here on 96.5 The Fan. And you look around the rest of the league, man, it's kind of a scatterbrain league right now. I mean, you know something in week one, you forgot it in week two, you learned something in week two, you forgot it in week three. So as of right now, who do you think is the biggest competitor for the Chiefs in the AFC?
Oh man, that's a hard question. Now, at first it was the Ravens, and you say no, the Ravens isn't as good, and you're like, no, they are good,
Right.
So it's wild right now. It's always too early to tell. I'm so proud of our guys for just sticking it out. It's not going to be sexy wins throughout this 2024 season, but when you can get a win, it's a win, man. It's a big deal to win in the NFL. It's so much parity, and everybody is, even if the records aren't that good, nobody's crazy better than another team. So everybody's getting paid and playing at a high level. But the Chiefs are a little bit better than everybody else right now, and that's kind of clear.
And you're also seeing, too, defenses, man, they're as fast as they've ever been. Like, I feel like they finally caught up to these offenses. You're seeing low-scoring games. You aren't seeing blowouts. You're seeing defenses able to make plays. Like, defenses have come a long way.
They have. And you got to, again, this game is you got to play in space. So in order to play in space, you need to have athletic linebackers. You need to have DBs that not only can cover, but can come down in the box and hit somebody. And if you can get somebody to affect that money man, that quarterback in the back, these defensive ends and outside linebackers that are rushing the passer are getting faster and faster and faster.
All right, DJ. Well, it's rivalry week. They get the Los Angeles Chargers, who seem to be pretty beat up this Sunday, and then we'll talk to you again next Monday, and hopefully it's a 4-0 start, and the rest of the season we just take off and get ready for the playoffs.
Absolutely. Y'all take it easy, man.
Yeah, you take care, man. Derek Johnson, presented by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member owner, open to all, invested in you and sheet metal workers, local number 2. Linebackers were great, man.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
I don't think we talk about that enough. I know it's a boring, you know, maybe thing to look at, but
it's like,
I mean,
talking about the fullback, you know,
yeah. Or it's like saying, oh yeah, your third baseman is really good over there. Defense is great, strong arm, hits 250. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like I think it was Mitch Holtis who told us about they were gonna talk about the LBs.
Yeah, and Dusty, a little bit different here because both first two weeks with Baltimore and Cincinnati used a lot of multiple tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't just Gesicki. They had four tight ends active. And they were using three tight ends, two tight ends a lot. Now, Atlanta doesn't do that as much. They will some. But Pitts is a monster. You know, we love watching the Olympics. Mm-hmm. But I think we can realize we're watching the Olympics every week when we watch the NFL. These are world-class athletes. And Kyle Pitts is exactly that. He was the highest drafted tight end in NFL history. He went fourth overall that year and runs like a wide receiver. But Atlanta doesn't use a ton of multiple tight end sets. I'm going to throw in, I'll give you that one, but then defending Bijan Robinson is part of the answer here because he can wreck a game. He's got 48% of their advances. We saw what he did at UT. He would just take games over. But there's a lot of pressure here on the linebackers and the safeties, most notably the linebackers, because some part of the tight end thing you're talking about, Dusty, is linebackers, especially if they're double tight because that means you're in base. That means it's all three of them out there with Chenal and Nick and also Tranquil. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have a very good game, their best game in probably since last year's playoffs. That's kind of a Captain Obvious, but there's a lot of pressure on the linebackers in this game.
And they did just that. Mm-hmm. No running back had over 33 yards rushing. No wide receiver or tight end had over 67 yards
receiving. And really, Kyle Pitts had one play. I mean, that was it. You know, you can't take plays away. I'm not going to pull over Emil here and go, hey, you take away those six plays, we win. But you take away that Kyle Pitts 50-yarder, he has 9 yards receiving. I mean, that was the last big play that they had all day, too. They got a touchdown and then they got a field goal the rest of the way. So, I thought they did a really nice job yesterday. There's really nothing to be upset about.
And that last Nick Bolton tackle, it was Leo Chenal with a hand in the dirt, mm-hmm. pushing the line of scrimmage back. I mean, he's just so versatile as a linebacker.
Could be the underlying story of why this team is continuing to stay successful on defense.
Reinventing themselves, man.
That's right. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. We call this show Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
We'll go down memory lane here in a bit and get back into the script that we had for Friday to see how accurate we were.
I can tell you Mac wasn't right.
Yeah, he had the Atlanta Falcons beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. Let him hear it.
How'd that work out?
Hey, well, listen to the script. So you guys did really well, too.
I did not do good at all. I know. And I said already in the show, I was like, I don't think my script is.
I don't remember what I said. A long weekend.
Stressful weekend, getting caught, making a whoopee.
Yeah, not always the best.
Yeah, like I said, though. You got to come up with a strategy. You and Miss J need to come up with a strategy.
We had one. We were in the basement.
It's clearly ran its course.
Yeah.
Now your oldest will never go to the bedroom or to the basement again.
Yeah, that's all right.
Hey, let's go downstairs and watch a movie. Nope. Not happening.
Nope. Mm-mm.
I think you should just get the like Snuggies and just put them on the couch and watch
like
as a family.
Those,
You don't know what's going on over there. Neither do I.
Yeah, I like a Snuggie.
Yeah.
My friend Vip gave us KU Snuggies years ago. I still wear them every once in a while. It's good for the fire pit, which, by the way, we're getting into fire pit weather, Dusty.
Yes.
Cooling off a little
bit. Noticed it last night. Had the windows open and everything and watching the Chiefs game and watching all this unfold. And the windows are open. It's, you know, kind of like wet outside and cool. And all of a sudden that, like, it hit everybody at the same time. This, like, breeze came in. Everybody goes, ooh, that's bonfire weather.
Yeah,
and then another
is.
Person goes, ooh, that feels like fall. Because it was the first day of autumn yesterday.
Yep.
I refuse to say fall. That guy. I don't know why.
Do you refuse to say fall? Autumn sounds so
such
very.
A beautiful word.
Oh, it sounds so very like brioche.
I like a brioche bun in the autumn.
Yes. with Walter Pennington and Nantucket.
Yeah, exactly. Give me a bun and you fall.
Give me a nice. Autumn.
I did buy those delicious brioche buns at Hy-Vee yesterday.
There's never been a better bun in Vin. I told you that.
It was a fantastic. Comes in a 4-pack, right? Yep. There's four of us in the family. I bought one 4-pack of buns and one 4-pack of hamburgers. Yep. I made them on the flat top, cheese blanket encased the burger. You saw the Munster just melt over and encase that burger. I got some of those wall burgers at Hy-Vee. They come in a 4-pack, a nice burger, right? Yep. A little bit more expensive than a normal burger, but I figure, what the hell? It's game day, right? Mm-hmm. So we make these burgers, one for everybody, and the kids go, "Where's seconds? Are we poor?" I go, if I had eight buns and eight burgers,
they'd ate all eight.
No,
oh, they would have never ate another one.
No,
would have ate half the first one.
Half
said,
the
full.
First one said I'm full, and then exactly. That would have been that, and then I would have wasted all this food. So I'm up to the point now where you got four burgers, you got four buns. That's all we're getting. If you need something else later on, have a glass of water.
I'd really love the Chiefs to be able to have a game where there isn't an excuse. And it's not going to happen next week.
Where there is not an excuse.
Yes. Because next week, if they beat the Chargers, they'd be like, "Well, there was no Herbert. Of course they're going to win.
Right.
They're 8.5-point favorites on DraftKings. I just looked at that.
Oh, it dropped a half a point.
That's right.
Man, I saw 9 last night when it originally came. Originally came out 3.5-point favorite. Then it was up to 9. Now it's down to 8.
Well, that's because everybody raced over to the books and bet the Chargers +9.
Yeah.
But yeah, look. This week, of course, another one. There was no pass interference call on Kyle Pitts in the end zone. I get it. It was a flag. They didn't call it. But you know what? They called pass interference on Trent McDuffie. That was clearly not pass interference.
Well, they made up for it in a big way. It was the McDuffie one, and then there was an illegal contact one. Even Collins was just like, "I don't know what they're looking at there."
So if we're going to continue to blame referees every week, and I heard this a really good like take on this on Pardon My Take, which they call the Chiefs the Thieves of Joy. And they said the reason why people get mad at the Chiefs and their officiating is because when the Chiefs get an officiating call or a penalty called on them or on the other team, they always take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's defensively or offensively, that play was a pass interference call in the end zone on Kyle Pitts, and Atlanta didn't do anything with it. Like,
Atlanta's been good on third down in this drive, and they converted a fourth down. Cousins in the shotgun. Robinson to his left. A trio of receivers to the near side. Chiefs selling out on a blitz. Pass to the end zone. It's broken up. Intended for Pitts. Kyle Pitts, 9 yards deep in the end zone on a post, and Brian Cook was there just enough.
Just enough.
Just enough.
Just enough.
Just enough. But, I mean, that's the NFL today. That call could not get called this week, but it could get called next week.
Mm-hmm.
McDuffie got called for a pass interference call. I had no idea what that was, why they called that.
That was a makeup call.
It could have been. Right? And there was a roughing the passer call on Chris Jones.
Oh, that was
a rough call.
Just don't touch the quarterback, man. Like, it's to the point now where you can't even look at the guy standing back there.
So it seems like every week it's like, well, the Chiefs have the refs in their back pocket. Well, the Chiefs get the... They called pass interference on Trent McDuffie last week, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was clearly on Ja'Marr Chase. Sorry.
Oh, God, yes. That was a clear
terrible.
Offensive pass interference
Pulling
penalty.
Down.
Yeah.
So, again, I just want there to be, and I don't think there will be because it's the NFL, because every time there's a passing play and there's some sort of, like, commotion, and I was doing this last night, I was like, just wait. Okay, no yellow.
I know, we were all doing that last night.
Because that's where we're at.
Right.
We've been burned, right? Like, we just, every time there's a play and someone's in the vicinity, every time I'm going, please don't, and then you're like, okay, no flag.
Right.
Sweet. Or you get like the 5-second delay.
Don't you hate watching games that way, though?
Like, that's the NFL.
I know it is. It's the NFL. But to your point, they didn't take advantage of that, right? The next play,
right.
It's 4th and 5 at the 6-yard line, incomplete pass. The Drake London Chiefs take over. And then in grand fashion, the Chiefs get the ball back and are able to do nothing with it. They go a 3-and-out, and then Ariza makes the play of the game. Ooh. I mean, with that saving of the long snap from James Winchester Cathedral, man, like over his head, Ariza almost gets a turnover out of the deal. But you know what? They weren't able to take advantage there either. They forced the Chiefs on a 3-and-out, got the ball back with 2:26 to go, and they weren't able to take advantage of it in that situation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Atlanta did not take advantage of opportunities that presented themselves, and that defense last night, bend, but never, ever broke. And that shows the signs of a championship type of defense. Don't kid yourself, man. I know people like to wake up in the morning and complain about stuff, you know, that the team did or did not do. It's a 3-0 football team in a league that is just wacky, crazy right now, and the Chiefs are playing some of the best football that I've seen. And that's not being a homer. That's just watching the league for the last 3 weeks and realizing, damn, we're pretty freaking good here in Kansas City.
Because they're complete.
Yeah.
They're the most complete team.
They are.
They're good at safety. They're good at corner enough. They're good at linebacker. D-line's good. Offensive line's good. Quarterback's great. Wide receiver's good. Carson Steele filled in just the way you'd want him to.
Just really nice job for him last night, man.
Let's see what we have to hear in the script as we were on Friday. We'll play that on the other side. And Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. We go to the script on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.